I'd invite you to turn to Daniel, the second chapter. We'll be reading, starting in verse 14. For those of you that are visiting with us, I'll bring you up to snuff as to what God has been doing with our fellowship since the first of the year in our study. We have been involved with studying the book of Revelations and understanding what the end is going to look like. We have gone through 7 of the 22 chapters that's in there. We have diverted just recently into Daniel. And some of the things that we're learning is that it's not going to be a fun place without Jesus Christ. For those who don't know Christ, this is as close to heaven as you're going to get. For those of us that are in Christ, this is as close to hell as we're going to get. And the things we have learned that the Antichrist is alive and well in the world. No, he is not Obama. Obama's just a player in the end time move of God. But the Antichrist is a real person. We've seen through the seals. We have done 6 of 7 seals. And in these 6 and 7 seals, we have seen that the Antichrist will come. We will see that the Antichrist will use war, pestilence, starvation, imprisonment. Whatever tactic he needs, he will do in order to secure his position and also to control the masses. We have also seen that in the last 2 seals that we have gone, seals 5 and 6, not seals in Croft. You were waiting for that, weren't you? Those of us that are of the previous generation understand who seals in Croft is. But anyhow, the 5th and 6th seals deal with tremendous earthquakes that will be coming on the earth. We see the rapidity of those earthquakes more and more. Volcanoes are part of that destruction that is coming. But there is going to be an earthquake so severe that the actual plates, the continental plates, will shift. And every mountain will be brought low. Every island will be wiped away. And if that's not enough, we have seen that there will be cosmic cataclysm where meteorites will be pelting the earth, driving men underground, and they will be in turn cursing God. And so if that's not a fun time at the ballpark, I don't know what to tell you. But we are now in Daniel preparing to find out what some of these timetables are. But in the meantime, we're learning some basic principles in which to guard our lives. And as some of our people have said, we are a praying church. We want to know the will of God. We want to know what He is doing. We want to know what our part is in this. We believe God. We believe His presence is here. This is not your typical Sunday go-to-meeting church. This is a church that is flowing in the dynamics of the Spirit. And we invite you, just relax, enjoy what God's doing, and we will proceed. Amen? Daniel. Let me get to Daniel. Daniel 2, verse 14 says, "And when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, 'Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?' Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he may interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, better known as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. He urged them to plead for mercy. Plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning the mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, 'Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and disposes of them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and the light he dwells with. And I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. And then Daniel went to Arioch, and whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon. And he said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, asked, "Are you able to tell me the dream that I saw in my dream and interpret it?" And Daniel said, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. And as the king was lying there, O king, your mind turned to the things to come. And the revealer of the mystery showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than the others living men, but so that you, O God and king, may know the interpretation that you are under, that you may understand what went through your mind." God does not want his people to suffer unduly. God is a God who loves us intensely. He loves us more than we could ever ask or imagine. And this example of Daniel petitioning the king for revelation, the story of it is that the king had a dream that was so severe and so distraught that he could not sleep. Insomnia suffered him, and he was so consumed in this dream that he forgot what the dream was. And so he asked his magicians, he asked all his soothsayers and all his people who were magicians and all, to not only tell him what the dream meant, but tell him what the dream was. And we saw last week that one of the things that these guys did was they tried to buy time so that they could figure out an interpretation to give to the king so that everything would be well. But the king didn't buy that. He wasn't buying time for them. He wanted to know what the dream was, and he wanted to know what it meant. And if they couldn't do it, he then decreed that they would be put to death. Daniel was entering into a life and death situation. He was at that time being raised up into the elevation of third in power to the king. He was a proconsul at this time, and he was a seeker of God. And so the first thing that he did was he petitioned the king for time. He didn't ask the king about his dream. He didn't ask him about what was the problem. All he asked him for time, so that he may seek the living God to find out what it is that the living God is trying to communicate. Many of you are in life and death situations. Whether you understand it or not, this is a fact. And we're always asking somebody else, what's going to happen? What is happening in my life? Do you understand what's going on or what's not going on? And we're asking the wrong people for the answers. And God is a God who will tell you what is happening in your life and why it's happening. And a lot of us have circumstances going on that we've either been victimized by the decisions of others, as some of these guys were saying this morning, or we've made decisions in our own lives that have caused us to fall away from God. And Daniel was not going to be a victim. He was not going to let someone else take his life. He knew who the living God was. He knew what his relationship was. He knew that he could depend on seeking God if the king would give him time. And the king gave him time. And the first thing that he did was he called a prayer meeting. He called a prayer meeting. It was right there in Scripture. He asked Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and whoever else would pray, to begin to start seeking God, to find out what the dream was and what it meant. It does not tell us how long it took. It just says that one evening, Daniel got the revelation. And I can tell you that we have been seeking God about certain things going on in our fellowship. We want to know what God is doing in the land. We want to know our place individually and collectively as a church. And if your church is not asking God, if you're just having service just to have service without any meaning or purpose, then you're being duped. Because God has a plan for your life, and only you are designed to fulfill that part of the plan. And I encourage you to seek God, to find out what it is that He's telling you, because He wants to tell you. Well, Pastor, everything's going well. That's for a season. Just because you're not in distress right now doesn't mean you won't be. You see, that's God's grace in your life. And here Daniel went and asked for mercy of God. How many of us go to God and ask for mercy? Not many of us do. Hebrews 4:14 through 16 says, "So then we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firmly to what we believe, that the high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings as we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God, that there we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we are in need of the most." You see, what happens is the people of God don't understand mercy, and they don't understand God's grace. And so because they don't understand, they're walking in this life-death situation without really realizing that, you know what, at any moment, a decision that you make could be injurious to your well-being, to your total salvation, to your relationship with whoever, including God. And God is allowing things to happen in your lives and in my lives to strengthen us, to get us to return back to Him, so that He could tell us and direct us what it is that He wants us to do. He doesn't want anybody to die. He wants everyone to come to repentance so that they may live with Him forever and ever. That's His plan. Well, you know, I just can't talk about God to people. You know, that's for the evangelists. You believe in Jesus Christ, then you can talk to Him. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, or if you have a personal relationship that is a silent witness, you need to see the scriptures. And none of them tell us that we need to be silent or apologetic. We need to be about telling the people what is going to happen in the world, what is going to happen in their lives. And God is not monkeying around anymore. He is calling His church back together in such a way that when the last trumpet sounds, we're out of here. And He wants everybody to be on board. He doesn't want anybody to see the destruction or be part of the destruction or to be destroyed into the destruction. He wants them to be with Him forever and ever. Life-death situation. Daniel's in a life-death situation. And when he finally broke through, when God finally broke through, he got the answer. Have you been just trying to say these real simple prayers and just, "Oh God, I don't understand what's going on in my life. You know, I've tried to do this, I've tried to do that." It's not about trying anything. It's about being who you've been created to be. You see, we have watered the gospel down in such a way that we believe that religion is the way to go. Religion is what's keeping you from entering into the greater things that God has promised you. It is a relationship with the living God. That's why for us, we're able to be free. We understand what He has set us free from. We understand the cost that He paid. And we are so jubilant in understanding that we don't have to pay that. And not only don't we have to pay it, He tells us that we can have our inheritance now. We don't have to wait till we get there. He made it so that we could have it now. That the authority that He has given to you and to me as believers is something that we need to exercise and be bold to claim. And some of you are saying, "Well, I don't believe that." To him who doesn't believe, nothing's possible for him. But to him who does believe, all things are possible to him. That's what the Master said. And some of you would rather drown in your morass of problems and stuff instead of just coming to Christ and just allowing him to lift you out of that. Your Jesus is the same Jesus as mine. The only difference is I believe what he's told me, and I'm acting upon it. Jesus did not come here just to pay for our sins and all. He came to establish the kingdom. You see, the gospel isn't about Jesus. The gospel is about the kingdom of God that is being prepared for you and for me. You are citizens of a highly kingdom that nothing can stop. You are filled with such power in you that if you would just begin to believe, you could walk in stuff that who knows what God would do. Walking on water is no big deal to God. Healing the sick is no big deal to God. Raising the dead is no big deal to God, because God dwells in you. The fullness of the Godhead that dwelt in Christ dwells in you. You're able to do whatever Jesus did and more, if you believe. You know, Jesus said we're not to be victims of this life. He said we are to grab this life and order this life. And if your life is filled with a bunch of hypocrisy, if your life is filled with a bunch of hurts, if your life is filled with a bunch of masks and pretensions and stuff, then you need to tear that stuff down and really look at your life in such a way and say, you know what, Lord? I'm tired of living this way. I'm tired of living a lie. I'm tired of trying to please everybody but you. You know, tear the mask down. Get real with God. Today's the day that God wants his people to come together and realize there is something so much greater for you and for me that we couldn't ever ask or imagine these things. But God has promised these things if we would be in his word and see these things. He wants to tell you what's coming in your life. He wants to prepare you from disaster. He wants to help you escape from those things. And in one of those areas is through your dreams and through your visions that you have at nighttime. Daniel saw this, and he got the answer. And if you want the answer now, then come forward. Get real with God. You know, there's nothing stopping you but you. If you're afraid to have a relationship with the living God, then you need to cast that spirit out and get right with God. He's not somebody we need to be afraid of. It's somebody we need to run to like Daddy, because that's who he is. He's our Father. He wants to have this intimacy with us so much so that when he whispers in our ear and tells us how much he loves us and how much he appreciates us and how pleased he is in the way we're progressing and growing, he doesn't want any of that to be taken away from us. And as soon as the answer came, immediately the prayer service became a praise service. He immediately began to praise God. How many of you, when you finally get the answer, after knocking your brains into the wall all of 6 weeks or whatever it's been, looking for an answer, praise God? For what we do in my house, we praise God before the answer even comes. Because we know the answer's going to come. We don't know when it's coming, but we know it is coming. Because he's not a God that would be silent to us. He says, I do nothing unless I reveal to my prophets first. God has spoken things in your lives that you have seen. And it's like, I can't believe God spoke this to me. But he did. I can't believe that God showed me something in here. But he did. And he wants you to share it. He wants you to get onto the tops of the houses and scream it out. My God has said this, 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 and this. My God promises to do thus, thus, and thus. Your God is so powerful that if he would just move his little finger, we would all be blown out into the parking lot. That's how powerful he is. And yet he is so loving, so caring for us, that he wants to embrace us like a little child on a parent's lap. Just embrace. That's how we have to look at it. Jesus said, if you if you don't come as little children, you won't enter into the kingdom. And sometimes as adults, we tend to think that, you know what, that's kind of absurd. Jumping around in church and having fun, that's crazy. No, that's God. That's what the Bible tells us through the Psalms. Clapping of hands. If you understand about clapping of hands, clapping of hands in the Old Testament was approving what God is about to do. You're saying yay and amen in clap. In song, you're making declaration to God. And immediately Daniel went into a praise service. He got his answer and he began to praise God. He praised God for his wisdom. He praised God for his strength. He praised God. He sees the secret things in darkness that is exposed by his glorious light. He praised God for everything. He didn't praise God for who Daniel was. He praised God for who God is. And then he went to the king. When was the last time you gave God and thanked Him for sustaining you through a tough day? When was the last time you thanked God for providing for you when you didn't know how to make ends meet? When was the last time you thanked God that you're alive? When was the last time you thanked God for your children? When was the last time you kids thanked God for your parents? See, we have a lot to be thankful for if we take the time and honor God in that. Because you see, what is happening is there's such a disintegration that is happening within our family structures that God is displeased. And He's not displeased with us. He's displeased with Satan, who is destroying us. And what we do is we medicate ourselves and we say this is some sort of psychosis when it is really a spiritual reality that is happening within our lives that we've become unconscious to. And God is trying to get us to become aware of who we are, what we have been created for, and to go about doing His job, what He has called the church to do. And the church is called to go and proclaim the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of Jesus, the kingdom of God. Jesus is the king. And I said this to the group about a year ago. I said, how many of you know about Atlantic City? And everybody knows Atlantic City, right? Do you know the mayor of Atlantic City? Nobody knows the mayor of Atlantic City. You don't care about the mayor of Atlantic City. What do you care about? You care about all the attractions. You care what the restaurants are down there, shows, you know, gambling if you're into that stuff. You're into all the amenities that Atlantic City has. Jesus, if you look at the scriptures, did the same thing. He didn't proclaim himself. He was proclaiming the kingdom of heaven to tell you what heaven is about and that there's a place for you. In my Father's house there are many houses, of which I go and prepare one for you. You have a home there. But you have a job to do here. And it would behoove you to come to understand that there is a greater purpose to your life than just providing an income to pay your bills and live an existence less than what God has ordered. Do you have to work? Yeah, we all have to work. Do we have to earn money? Yeah, we have to earn money. But there's a greater purpose in those things. And the streams, that's what we're about. We're about those greater things. We're about encouraging people out of where they are to get them to a place where they can start hearing God and start doing the things that God has said. It has taken a long time, but you know what? I've seen the maturing of the saints, and so much so that they're saying, Pastor, get out of the way. Pastor, we could do this. Pastor, just sit down. And it's like, now I've got to find something else to do because these guys are doing it for me, which is a good thing that they let me come around. They let me hang around a little bit now. And I thank God that they let me hang around. And I love them for it because God loves them. Do we testify of what God has said? Because Daniel, the first thing that Daniel did was when he got the answer, the king asked him, are you able? And Daniel said, there's no man on earth, no magician, no soothsayer, no astrologer, nobody that can know the things except there is a living God in heaven that knows all these things. When was the last time you bragged on God? I'm not here to I'm trying to get you to start thinking that there's a greater purpose to your life than just existing. You see, I think the greatest lie that the church has believed in is the rapture. I'm existing to get through. You may have missed the boat, because you see, until he comes back, we have a job to do. And that job is to go and tell everybody about the kingdom of God. In your way, you could tell them about God. In your way. God has done things in your life that I don't know, that if you share with me, I would get excited about what God's doing. Or vice versa. There are people that you know that pass your way that you can share a word of encouragement. There's people that you know that need to hear that there is a God in heaven that has an answer for their situation. They need to understand that God is not angry with him. God wants to help him and her. But if they don't hear what God's doing in your life, how are they going to ever see Christ? You see, the bottom line here is that the end is coming. The end is coming, and I want us to be prepared. I want us to stand before the Lord and have everyone say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant." I don't want him to stand up there and say, "Gary, what did you do? I existed." You wasted your life. You wasted your life. I had such great plans for you. All you had to do was open your mouth. All you had to do was study. All you had to do was live for me. You see, it isn't what you accumulate here that matters. It's what you're putting in heaven that matters. Your treasure, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. My treasure is to see the souls of God's people raised and elevated in such a way that you, as Paul and Peter say, you are kings and priests of the Most High God. Either you don't believe it or you never heard it. But the fact of the truth is, that's what God looks at you as, because that's who you are. You are destined to reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years and rule and reign with God forever and ever. That's what he has purchased on the cross for us. If you're daring enough, and this is the challenge I've laid to the streams, if you're radical enough, then come forward. Come forward and get right with God. Come forward and allow him to infuse you with his spirit. Come forward and see what he has to say to you. Because I'll tell you what, I never thought I'd be a pastor. I never did. My plans were totally alienated from that. But God knocked me off my pedestal. He got my attention. Part of my testimony, my life was almost disastrous. I was 10 years into a marriage and almost divorced. And God knocked me off my pedestal. And when I started blaming everybody else but myself for the condition of my life, God spoke to me in an audible voice and said, "You're the problem." And ever since then, I have not been in my right mind since. I have learned who God is. I know in whom I believe in. I am ready and willing to die for him. I am not afraid to tell people the truth of what Jesus did for us and why he did it. We may understand that he did this. We may not understand the fullness. I'm telling you right now, you are worth it. You are precious to God. You are important to God. And God's waiting to hear from you. Amen? Next week we'll learn about what the dream and what it means for the end. Amen? Father, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. God, you are awesome. You are awesome, God. Lord, I pray that your people will just suck in what you have given to me for them today, Lord. That, Father, that nothing would restrain them from having all that you have for them, God. God, I pray against that spirit of religion, God, and set your people free. To be who they are, God. that they would walk in the truth and reality of you and what you have created them to be, God, that they would come to understand the greater purposes of their lives for you, God. If they live for you, they will gain their life in eternity, Lord God. That, Father, they win souls into your kingdom, God, that there would be great treasure waiting for them in heaven, God. Because there's nothing more important that you value, God, and that's the reason why you came, was to restore the relationship that was lost in the garden and to establish your kingdom authority again upon the earth. God, as the world is going to hell in a handbasket, God, may there be a people who will shine and stand up in all boldness, God. Father, may we be those people. May we lock arms with those who are sold out for you, God. And most importantly, God, may you lead us, God. May you be the author and finisher of our faith, Father, as we press in to know you better and become more and more like you, Jesus. I ask that you bless your people today, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.